Okay, it is so good every Monday night to come and minister to you guys. We as volunteers come from Tulsa, different parts of Tulsa, because God loves you. We love you. If there's a need that we can meet in your lives, if we're able to, we'd love to meet it. Just here to tell you tonight that God loves you and you are highly valuable. You are highly precious in the sight of God. Say it tonight with me. I am highly precious, in the sight of Almighty God. God loves me, and I love God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, over the last several weeks, we've been doing this series on the fruits of the Spirit. And I gave you guys the comparison or the illustration in the natural realm. If you want apples, for instance, right? Let's say you're on a farm. You have no access to apples, but you've got apple seeds. What do? You take those apple seeds, you plant them in the soil, you nurture that seed, and it produces an apple tree, right? And that apple tree eventually produces the fruit you're looking for, which is the apple, right? And friends, I'm here to tell you tonight that it's the same way in the spiritual realm. When you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, guess who came to live on the inside of you? The Spirit of Jesus Christ. You see, when you said, Jesus, I give my life to you, be my Lord and my Savior, the seed of the Spirit of Jesus Christ was planted in the soil of your heart, of my heart. And you know, as you look after that relationship with Jesus, as you nurture your relationship with Jesus by reading the Word, by praying to Jesus, by fellowshipping amongst other believers, as you nurture that seed, that relationship with Jesus, a natural result should be the fruit of the Spirit manifesting in your life. Last week, we talked about the fruit of the Spirit called patience. It's Galatians 5:22. Let's turn there. Galatians 5, verse 22. Paul the Apostle writes to the Galatians, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Talked about patience last week. You know, after my word study on the word patience, this is what patience means. It means endurance and perseverance. You know, each and every single one of us have a mission in life from God. Each and every single one of us have some goals in life, right? It's easy to faithfully tick away in your course of action, in your mission, when things are going well, right? You've started, you're heading towards that goal, things are going well, you're ticking away faithfully. But it's not so easy to faithfully tick away when things get rough. When you lose a job, or the finances are not there. Or you lose your health. It's not so easy in those times. And it's in those times, when the times get rough, that the fruit of the Spirit called patience has to kick in. Patience is endurance. Patience is not quitting when things get tough. Patience is not quitting on your course of action when things don't go according to your timing. It's just having that no quitting attitude. I'm not going to give up. I've started this course. This is God's mission for my life. This is my goal. I faithfully begun. I was ticking away. It got tough. But you know what? Patience is kicking in, this fruit of the Spirit, and I'm not going to give up. Amen? Yeah. All right, so we talked about patience last week. Tonight, I want to talk to you about the first fruit of the Spirit that Paul mentions in Galatians 5:22. And it's love. I call it the crowning fruit of the Spirit. Why? Because Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, writes this, and now abide faith, hope, and love. 1 Corinthians 13, Verse 13, but the greatest of these is love. Let's turn there for just a second. Let's look at it together. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. This is the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Now in the English language, we have one word to express our affection for someone or something. And what is that one word? Love. It's love. People say, I love ice cream. I scream, you scream. We all scream for ice cream, right? I love ice cream. I love such and such an athlete because he's so good at what he does. I love Tulsa. I love California. And I myself have said many times, I just love chocolates. So we've got one word in the English language to express our affection for people and things, right? However, in the original language of the New Testament, which is Greek, there are several words for love. Several words for love. I'm going to talk about three of them tonight. The first two briefly, and then the third one we're going to expound upon. One of the words for love from the Greek is phileo. Phileo. It is a brotherly love. It's like a love between two guys. They're friends. A love between two girlfriends. It's a brotherly love. It's a friendship type of love. It's phileo. You know, Philadelphia. How many have heard of Philadelphia? Everybody, right? Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love. The other word for love from the Greek language is eros. What is eros? Eros is a physical, intimate love between a husband and a wife in marriage. Eros. Physical, intimate love between spouses. Physical love. And then the third word for love that I want to expound upon tonight from the Greek language is agape. Agape love. This denotes the love which springs from admiration and veneration, and which chooses its object with decision of will, and devotes a self-denying and compassionate devotion to it. Simply stated, this is what agape love is. It is the God kind of love. Two things about agape love that I'd like us to remember tonight. And this is the word that Paul uses in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is agape, translated love. Two things about agape love. It is a choice and a decision of the human will. And number two, about agape love. It is a self-denying, self-sacrificing, selfless type of love. Let me repeat those again tonight. Two things about agape love. Agape love is a love which is based on choice, your free choice or decision of the human will. And number two, agape love is a self-denying, self-sacrificing love for the benefit of somebody else. In Romans 5:8, what does Paul the Apostle write? But God commends his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. Guess which word he uses in Romans 5:8 for love? But God commends his agape towards us. You know, while humanity was sinful, while humanity was rebelling against God, he still sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins. Amen. You know, if God was like some of us, you know, and he was like, man, these people are sinful, they're rebellious, they're disobedient, I ain't going to send my son. They've got nothing to give me. That's a selfish love. But God doesn't operate that way. God's love, God's agape, is self less. It's self-denying. While we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. While humanity was telling God, God, I want nothing to do with you. God, leave me alone. This is my life. God, I'm disobeying you. God, I'm rebelling against you. God, I want to live in sin. While humanity had that attitude, God still sent His Son to die for us. That's pure agape, God kind of love. You know, the world's understanding of love, those who are not Christians, their understanding of love is what? It's a selfish kind of love in the world for the non-Christians. If you pat my back, I'll pat your back. I'll scratch your back. If you do this for me, I'll do this for you. You do this work for me, I'll pay you this amount. You know, say a guy and a girl who are not Christians are dating, right? They don't understand Christianity. Jack and Sally. Right? And Jack says to Sally, Sally, I just love you with my whole heart. I just love you. What is he trying to get from Sally, maybe? Maybe he's trying to get physical intimacy from her. Right? I just love you, Sally. He gets her physically and then he leaves her. What kind of love is that? That's selfish. That's sacrificing somebody else for the benefits of yourself, of oneself. But what does God's love do? What does agape love do? It sacrifices self for the benefit of somebody else. The world's sense of love sacrifices others for the benefit of self. God says, no, my love sacrifices self for the betterment of other people. Does that make sense tonight? Amen. Making sense to you? Okay. Agape love. Now let's look at Paul the Apostle's description of agape love, God's kind of love, selfless love, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Just a few verses. 1 Corinthians 13. This is what he says in verses 4 through 7. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy. This is from the NIV. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. In other words, it forgives. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. And it always perseveres. That's a pretty good description of God kind of love, right? Amen. And every single one of these descriptions in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, what do we see? We see a love which prefers the other person and benefits them. It's patient with others. It's kind to others. It does not envy others. It does not boast itself and put others down. It is not self-seeking, but seeks the benefit of others. It's not easily angered. When somebody says or does something doesn't sit quite right with you, you don't get angry, but you just bite your tongue. Keeps no record of wrongs. It does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Truth, it always protects the other person, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. The love that Paul the Apostle is describing here is a love which does what? Sacrifices self for the benefit of somebody else, right? See that tonight? Okay. Tonight, for the next few minutes, I want to talk to you about agape love, the God kind of love, in relationship to other people. Every single day, we will do what? In our daily walk of life, we will be interacting with others, right? Beyond the shadow of a doubt, you're going to be interacting with at least one person a day. You know, in life, friends, you are going to meet people. We are going to meet people that click really well with us. Think of your life as a puzzle. And there's some people in your life, maybe a person or two, who comes into your life that is like the missing puzzle piece. They just blend really well with you. They click really well. They think like you think. They dress like you dress. They're going the same direction in life that you're going in. How many have friends like that? People that just click with you, right? You just get along really, really well. You're having some down times, you can talk to those people. You're having some high times, you can laugh with those people. You just really click. But, personally, I've got a friend just like that. He's like a brother. We're not blood related, but he's like my brother. And, you know, we share our struggles and concerns. We're like accountability partners. When he's having a problem, he shares it with me. When I'm having a problem, I share it with him. You know? And we kind of think the same way business-wise in managing finances. So we click really well. I've got those people in my life. This individual specifically. On the other hand, we're going to meet those in life who kind of rub us the wrong way. They're like sandpaper against us. How many know of somebody like that in their life? They're like, this is the way I call them. I call them sandpaper acquaintances. You don't at all click with them. They rub you the wrong way. Every time you're talking to this person, interacting with this person, it's like sandpaper against sandpaper. So, how do we express agape love, God's kind of love, in relating to others? Number one, we've got to love the unlovable. We've got to love those who rub us the wrong way. Jesus addressed this in Matthew chapter 5. Let's turn to Matthew 5, verses 43 through 48. Matthew 5, verses 43 through 48. Loving the unlovable. And this is what Jesus says. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Guess which word he uses here in verse 44 to love your enemies? Agape. Agape your enemies. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? That's what the world does. It's a selfish love. If you love me, I'll love you. Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, friends, let me ask you this tonight. Loving the unlovable, loving your enemies. How do you love your enemy? The person who's talking against you. The person who rubs you the wrong way. The person who lied about you. How do you love them? He says long distance. You forgive them. Amen. Forgiveness is central to the God kind of love. Forgiveness is central to agape love. You release them of the debt. I want to share with you a personal illustration, a story tonight. There was a certain man in a certain business situation several months ago. It was like in June of 2007, middle of this year. And basically, I was kind of calling him and kind of pushing him to get a certain task done. It needed to be done, or there would be more problems. So I was kind of prodding him along that way. And basically, after some time, I met with him in his office. And he's sitting over there, and he's got another guy standing up beside him, and I've got one of my friends standing with me, and I'm standing there. Okay? And all at once, this individual begins to slander me. He begins to slander my Christian walk. He starts belittling me. Let me tell you something. My flesh on the inside, with everything in me, wanted to yell back at him and belittle him. It took everything in me to sacrifice self and to bite my tongue. I mean, this man just basically slandered my Christian walk and made me feel so small. And you know, I agape loved him. I denied myself and I responded Gently. Now, what does Proverbs 15:1 say? It says, a gentle answer turns away wrath. Friends, let me tell you something. Everything in me said, this man owes me an apology for slandering my Christian walk. I was so upset, so frustrated with him on the inside for slandering me in front of other people. You know what? I thought to myself, you know what? Let me agape love this man. I'm not even going to require him to apologize to me for slandering my Christian walk. So I just released him of having to give me an apology. What is that? That's forgiveness, right? And I still have interactions with this man today. And we talk occasionally. I'll ask him questions occasionally. And I'm just trying to show the love of God, the God kind of love, the agape love toward him. He's, in my estimation, he's pretty hard to love. How many here have those in their lives that are pretty hard to love?
Amen.
What do you do those times? You sacrifice self, right? For the betterment, for the benefit of the other person, and for the advancement of Christianity. Jesus agape loved his offenders. Let's look at Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27 verses 38 through 44. Let's look at what Jesus did. What would WWJD, what would Jesus do? Matthew 27 verses 38 through 44. The crucifixion of Jesus. Matthew 27, 38. Two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God. In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusts God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God. In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults on Jesus. Now, were these friends of Jesus? These who were insulting him? No. They were what? They were enemies. And Jesus practiced what he preached in Matthew chapter 5, right? Let's turn to Luke chapter 23. One verse. And this is what Jesus says in response to the insults. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Jesus agape loved his enemies who slandered him. How did he do it? By forgiving them. He didn't get up. He wasn't on that cross yelling back at them, trying to defend himself, trying to puff himself up. No, he was dying to himself, right? For the benefit of somebody else. He was showing them what true Christianity was all about. That it's about peace. It's about God's love. And I really believe that some of those people who slandered him that day may have been won to Christ because of the example of Jesus and the agape love that he demonstrated. Amen. They're cursing him. They're insulting him. They're spitting at him. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is a self-denying love. He was helping them. He was showing them the love of God so that they would be saved. Okay, the second way to demonstrate the agape love of God when you relate to others. The first way is what? Loving the unlovable, right? Loving your enemies when they curse you, when they lie about you, when they slander you. The second way to express or demonstrate the agape love of God in relationship to others is this. It's choosing to serve those who cannot repay you. Choosing to serve those who cannot repay you. Remember the lawyer who came to Jesus. In Matthew chapter 22, And this is what he said, verses 34 through 40. Matthew 22, verse 34. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, verse 37, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Now, Luke records the same story here in Luke chapter 10. And Luke actually records a parable that Jesus gives about who the neighbor is. So let's turn to Luke chapter 10. Two gospels over. Luke chapter 10. The same lawyer was like, "Jesus, who is my neighbor?" And this is the parable that Jesus gives. Verse 29, he says, "Jesus, who is my neighbor?" Verse 30, in reply, Jesus said, "This is serving others who cannot repay you, is showing them the agape love of God. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead." Verse 31, "A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan," verse 33, "as he traveled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He was moved with the love of God, the agape love of God. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him." Verse 35, "The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense that you may have.'" Hallelujah. Verse 36, "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." And it applies to us tonight. We must go and do likewise. We must serve with the love of God, with the agape love of God, those who could never repay us. Now in this parable, let's look at this parable for a second. What was the Samaritan in this parable? What was he? Think about it. A priest passed by, a religious person. A Levite passed by, another religious person. But the Samaritan stopped. He chose. Remember, agape love chooses to love someone else. The Samaritan chose to stop and serve this Jewish man who was beaten and robbed. What was the Samaritan? He was a servant. Let me ask you this, number two. What did the Samaritan express to the beaten and robbed Jew? What did he express to him? He expressed agape love. Agape love. Remember, two things about agape love, right? Number one, it chooses. It's a choice of the human will, a decision of the human will to love someone. So the Samaritan chose to stop and take care of this man, whereby the priest and the Levite chose not to stop and take care of him. They chose not to express the agape love of God. Now, let me ask you this. The Samaritan sacrificed three things in expressing his agape love. Remember, agape love does what? It sacrifices what's important to self for the benefit of another. Is this making sense tonight?
Amen.
The Samaritan sacrificed three things in showing the agape love of God to this poor Jew. What did he sacrifice? Number one, he sacrificed his reputation. Jews, you got to understand, it goes back a long time. that Jews and Samaritans did not have any dealings. There was racial animosities between the Jews and the Samaritans. A Jew would not associate with a Samaritan. And a Samaritan would not associate with a Jew. It was taboo. Something you did not do back in those days. Racial animosities. But the Samaritan chose to sacrifice what? His reputation. Not caring about what other people thought. Oh my goodness, you're a Samaritan. And you stopped and took care of a Jew. But he decided to sacrifice his reputation. Did not care what other people thought. You know why? Because only what God thought was important in the eyes of the Samaritan. Number two. The Samaritan sacrificed what? Number two. He sacrificed his time. Sure, he was a busy man. He literally had to stop. He saw this Jew beaten. He was bleeding. He was robbed. The Samaritan had to stop and take time out of his busy schedule. He sacrificed time to serve this poor Jewish man. Does that make sense? The priest and the Levite were not willing to sacrifice their time. They saw the man dying and they just walked on by. They had no love of God on the inside of them. Does that make sense? They had no agape love, no self-sacrificing love on the inside of them. And number three, the Samaritan sacrificed what? His finances for the benefit of somebody else. Look what he says. Verse 35. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Now, most likely, the Jew, probably, I would think that most likely the Jew could never repay the Samaritan for his kindness and servanthood. Right? But the Samaritan was moved with what? He was moved with agape love, the fruit of the Spirit, that Paul talks about in Galatians 5:22, right? He was moved with God's love. You know, the word says in Proverbs 19:17, he who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and God will reward him for what he has done. I don't think the Jew was ever able to pay back the Samaritan, but God was. I believe that God rewarded the good Samaritan. If not on this earth, he's got an extra jewel in his crown in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Makes sense tonight?
Yes,
all right. You know, it gives me great satisfaction to serve, to agape love those who cannot repay me. Back in late 2006, I was just really struggling with some things, and God had blessed me in some areas. And there were two families that were in great, great need financially. And through a series of events, God just placed it on my heart to help these families out financially. And I helped them out. And I know that these two families are not able to repay me and probably will never be able to repay me. But you know what? God will. What does the Word of God say? He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord. I lent to God, basically. And God will repay, if not on this earth, in heaven one day. Amen?
Amen.
So, you know, for the remaining part of 2006, for the last quarter of the year, I was just so satisfied. I was like on a spiritual high, just soaring in my relationship with God. Amen. And friends, I'm here to tell you tonight that you'll meet people less fortunate than yourself. And the question tonight is this: will you agape love them? Will you serve those who are less fortunate than you? Will you spend your reputation, your time, and your money? Will you sacrifice those things for the benefit of somebody who could never repay you? Would you do it? That is God's kind of love. Giving to those, sacrificing self, for the benefit of somebody else who could never repay you. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Jesus served us by agape love.
Amen.
Let's look at 1 John 4. We're real close to closing tonight. 1 John chapter 4. And this is what it says. Verses 9 and 10. This is how God showed His love amongst us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus was sent as an atoning sacrifice for your sins and my sins. He practiced agape love. He chose to come to this world as a baby in a manger, right?
Amen.
Chose it.
Amen.
Chose to do it. That's agape love. And second, He selflessly laid down His life at the cross. He sacrificed Himself at the cross for our benefit, right?
Amen.
Two parts of agape love. Choosing and denying self. We can never repay God for the gift of His Son, but we can say thank you. We can never repay God for the gift of His only begotten Son to give us eternal life. But we can say thank you by a life well lived, by living a godly life. We can never repay God, but we can say, God, I thank you. And God, one of the ways I'm saying thank you to you is by serving others who are less fortunate than me. And finally, how to express agape love in relationship to others. Agape love will help you trust others again. Number three.
That's good.
And finally. Friends, I'm here to tell you tonight that you may have been hurt in the past. Maybe it was a bad marriage. Maybe it was your parents who abused you. Maybe somebody physically beat on you. Maybe somebody slapped you left and right with their words. And now you live in a state of fear, not being able to trust others. Living behind the bars of the past. Well, if I trust this person again, will he do or will she do what this person in my past did? You're not able to trust. You're living in fear. But let's look at what the Word of God says in 1 John 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love. The word love here is agape. There is no fear in agape, but perfect agape, perfect love drives out fear. We hear that quoted a lot, but what about the other part of the verse? Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So you may be struggling with that tonight, being able to trust others because you're afraid that they may abuse you. You're afraid that they may punish you like somebody else in the past. But perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. Remember, what does agape love do? From 1 Corinthians 13. It always trusts. It always believes the best about others. It always gives somebody else the benefit of the doubt. So if God is sending somebody across your path, don't back away out of fear because you're imprisoned by the past. But try to believe the best about that person. Give that person the benefit of the doubt. That's agape love. Believing the best about others. And I believe as you step out and do that, as we step out and do that, we will be able to trust again. Does that make sense? Just getting into the Word, praying to God, saying, God, I want you to miraculously, you know, God can miraculously on the inside of you place His agape love there so that you can trust again. Don't live in fear that somebody's out to get you, that somebody's out to punish you, that somebody's out to put you down because of what somebody or somebodies have done in the past. perfect love of God, agape love, casts out that kind of fear because it always believes the best about others. And you may just have to pray, God, I pray, God, that you give me the strength on the inside to believe the best about this person and not be suspicious, not be cynical. All right, well, God loves you so very much.